Today's episode of Fantasy Fiction is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/fantasyfiction.
Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Kindle, MP3 player, or Magic Stone.
Today we're recommending A Game of Thrones by George R.R. Martin. Impress your friends with real-life magic. Act like you read a long book without any actual reading.
Think of all the masturbating you'll get done.
So if you're enjoying the show, give the free trial a chance. That's audibletrial.com/fantasyfiction. Enjoy the episode. Reese's, put down that Merc Monk.
But he's my friend.
In the land of fantasy, on the fields of fiction, there rode two knights across the plains. Two thieves of the night, two warriors of honor. In the shadow of the mountain, cry their name.
Until the deed is done, until the quest is won, the battle's in our minds, until the end of time.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Fantasy Fiction. My name is Dominic.
My name is Josh.
And today we are telling tales of jousting and
sacrifices. Sorry.
You said that like a man who was about to sacrifice another man.
I might do that. I don't know.
Or a child.
Whoa.
Don't. Sometimes in scary stories, children are sacrificed.
The Mayans did it. They knew. They knew about that shit.
But we got our prompts from YouTube this week, and jousting was suggested by Jets to Anywhere, and sacrifices was suggested by Hans Irwin. Mm-hmm. And we are going to open the prompts up to YouTube yet again this week. So if you're listening to the episode, go ahead and leave a comment with your prompt, and I don't know, leave us a message as well, because we read them. It makes it a little bit more interesting.
It could be about anything. It could be, I mean, just tell us like how your week was. We always talk about how our week is and what we did, and I want to know what you did.
Yeah, but and how it pertains to fantasy.
Yeah,
see if you can figure that out.
Yeah, maybe you fought a lion. Some people do that still, I'm sure.
And maybe that's just everyday life for some people, but for most, it's fantasy.
We're all just in this melting pot together. Mm-hmm. I want to know what you're into. Tell me.
Leave us a comment. But there were some prompts that made us laugh,
yeah.
Right, Josh?
Yeah, the one that made me laugh, Game Slave said, prompt, gold and truth. And truth made me laugh because, what the hell?
I think there's less prompts and more things I just want in my life.
Yeah.
I want the truth and I want some gold.
Some gold and the American way. That's like the most American comment. I want some gold and truth.
I liked, let's see, Anime Skeleton said that we should do the Illuminati.
Oh, yes. Well, we would, but I don't think we're allowed to.
Yeah, well, we have to be in a special club.
Yeah,
to do that, I think.
We can't talk about it.
No, yet. Yet. Satanic Snuggles also mentioned that he left the 420th iTunes review.
Yes.
So if you look at iTunes right now, we have 420 reviews, which makes us the best.
Yeah, hopefully it won't stay there, but if it did, I wouldn't be mad.
When we get 421, we will no longer be the best podcast on iTunes. But right now, we're the best podcast on iTunes.
That's how it works.
That's how it works, totally, buddy. Yep. But enough with that stuff. Josh, what did you do this week?
They've been putting up this show on Netflix where they talk about like all these like weird things and like Bigfoot and shit. So I fell into like a Bigfoot black hole. But then I watched a thing about crystal skulls, which are totally fake, by the way. They're none of them are real. And but then transitioning into that, I got into looking up how to buy a real human skull, which is something I've always wanted to do. I want to own a real human skull. And they're fucking expensive, man.
Yeah, I would imagine.
$2,000? That's crazy. That guy's not using that shit anymore.
Yeah, come on. Just give it away. It's just trash.
I can just go to a graveyard and just get one. So, you know, that's what I want to do now. I want to have a skull.
And so if anyone wants to donate their skull to Josh when they die.
Yeah.
And he just, you know, no scientific purpose. He just kind of wants it.
Yeah, no, I don't want to, like, look at it. I don't even want to, like, draw it or anything. I just want to have it. I just want one to put on my mantle, which I do have. I have a mantle.
That's spooky. Have you been to the Mudder Museum?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so there's that wall of skulls.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's spooky.
You know where we should go? We should go to the catacombs in, like, France where they just pile up the dead people.
No, dude.
Yeah, man.
Where they have all that. I remember I watched a special one time when I was a kid where it was like, these are the catacombs and they're scary. And look at all these skulls. And I'm like, ah. And then they were like, we found this camera down here of a guy who was lost and he got scared.
Yeah.
And he couldn't find his
and
way
he died.
Out. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I was going to talk about that. I was going to say, do you remember that time when that guy died down there?
Yeah, well, like, it was like, here's his footage of him running around scared as shit.
He, like, lost his mind.
Yeah, dude. Was that a real thing, or was that staged?
I think that, I don't know if that was, like, an urban legend, but I heard it, so it's probably true.
Saw it on Fox, it's real.
Saw it
on Fox. Yeah. I remember Fox, I think Fox aired a special one time that was, like, when cars go wild or something, when cars like, and it was about like cars just like driving themselves.
Dude.
And it was like, it cut to like a guy in a laboratory and he was like, car science, blah, 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 blah. Here's a car that was going to be sold the next day and it started doing this. And it was like the car just like driving in reverse on its own and like the guy trying to stop it.
Dude, that channel loved being like, here are all the things that are going to fucking kill you.
Yeah. And, and they're all real.
Yeah.
And,
and I'm
if
afraid
you watch Unsolved Mysteries at night, which is the only time to watch it, you'll be so scared you'll never go outside.
Or you'll go outside and freak out and we'll find your camera phone and watch you freaking out and you'll die.
And yeah, watch you freaking out in the catacombs and die.
What did you do this week, Dom?
I watched a bit of the show Steven Universe. Have you seen it yet?
No, I don't know that show.
I really like it. When I first started watching it, I was like, this is okay. It's all right. But it's one of those shows that, like, they establish more and more of the world and things change and, like, people change their costumes and people get new items and stuff like that as it goes along. So I really like it. I think it's really great. And some episodes are better than others, but there is a wrestling episode where Steven takes on the persona of, I think, Tiger Millionaire is his name, and he's a mix between IRS and Ted DiBiase with a little tiger mask on. It was hilarious. It's so good.
Tiger Millionaire. It's an animated show. I'm looking it up now.
It's a bit anime inspired. Like some of the gags that they do are you see in anime. In
right, comedy. Right. Like the big eyes and the...
Exactly. Like that's a thing that Steven will frequently change to... eyes with stars in them.
Yeah.
When he's really excited about something. So I really like that about the show. I think it's really good, and it really works for the show. So if you haven't seen it yet, go check it out. Steven Universe is really good.
My favorite anime trope is sad sweat droplet.
Oh, yeah, sad. Or, like,
what is that?
Dotted eyes with, like, a hashtag on the forehead.
Yeah, what's the the hashtag for it? I think that means anger. I don't know.
I think that means trending worldwide.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's dude, Japan's way ahead.
We said it a long time ago, but that's real life fantasy over there.
It is, man. Dude, they have real life magic.
Speaking of real life magic,
yes.
Why don't we go to a fantasy world?
Let us sacrifice ourselves to doing the show.
To joust each other with stories.
To death.
Whoa. No, I'm not that serious about this.
I am.
All right, Dom, are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Hold on.
So ready.
Hold on. There's a cat walking in front of me. Oh, it's time for a cat now. Okay.
Oh.
Get down. Okay,
that's
get down.
That's what we call a catio. It's a cameo for cats.
Catio. Dude, he's... All right. Go. Okay,
catio keyboard.
All right. Anyway, my story this week is called All Axe Wound Up.
Ooh.
So...
Ooh. Okay. Know. All right.
All right. As the sun set on another day in Daranos, all was not well. Fields were burning in the southern regions as the great zombie horde from, like, I don't know, 30 episodes ago began to slowly crawl across the countryside under the command of Princess Axewound.
Oh.
Princess Axewound was making her great power play that she had been planning for several episodes. I mean, years. If this were some kind of show on, let's say, the internet, this would be the time where a cool flashback and VO narration started explaining who that character is and why they're trying to achieve a random goal that they wish to achieve, along with character motivation and possibly some interpersonal backstory. But this isn't the internet. This is real ass life. Needless to say, Princess Axewound is a cunt. The kind of cunt that'd make your mama say, boys, you know I don't like to use that word, but I can smell the see you next Tuesday on this bitch from a fortnight away, and it smells like a Caesar salad wrap, which reminds me, should we get Italian tonight? Or, oh God, run, here comes the deadly zombie horde, we're all gonna die.
It finally got around to that mother.
Yes.
That she, one mother who's been saying all this shit.
Wherever she is. The horde carried their queen atop a golden throne, the back of which was in the shape of a rose, which suspiciously looked like a vagina hole. Like, so much so that you start to think about vaginas when you see them in a museum, and then you know you have to cover up your boner, because if you get a boner in a museum, you know someone's going to paint it.
Is that what happens? Are people just standing by waiting for things like that to happen so that they can paint them in museums?
Yeah. Do you ever see, like, a kid, like, at the museum with, like, a sketchbook and he's, like, drawing the things? Like, they're just waiting to draw your boner.
They're just waiting for a bone to drop on by.
They love drawing naked bones, dude.
Yeah, dude. That's why they have that drawing class where...
Yeah, the nude class, yeah.
Where they're naked and the dudes... They shout things at him until he gets a boner. Okay, let's continue the story.
In front of her and her army, tied to an old burnt treant who died as pointlessly as he lived, were two of Daranos' most epic heroes, Ugla the Female Wizard and Fred the Skull Peeler.
Ooh, yeah.
Finally, Axewound said all cunty, I have two of Daranos' most beloved, celebrated, and kill-offable characters. I mean heroes. You'll never get away with this, Ugla said, with hate in her eyes and probably her boobs, too. When Cid gets here, Fred said, exhausted and bleeding from the head, when Cid gets here, you're going to pay for that candy bar. Everyone looked around puzzled. Or, you're going to pay for this. I don't know, I have a severe concussion. Axewound laughed. That's the point, Steak Daddy. Or should I call you Steak Daddy? All the zombies laugh because who doesn't love a good pun?
Who doesn't love a zing?
Zinger! Suddenly, an arrow shot past Axewound and stuck right behind her, lodging itself into the golden pussy rose, right near where the clit would be. Bullseye. She reached back and plucked it out. Around it was attached a parchment. She read it aloud. Will you go to hell prom with me? She read. Circle yes or double yes. As she finished, a sick guitar slide could be heard. Everyone looked off into the sunset. As they did, the camera panned up and there stood Cid the Rogue, all tricked out on a boner cycle. Nobody takes my wife and best friend without telling me, he said. And even then, you shouldn't kidnap people, especially people I put my massive troll hog inside. Ah, Axewound said. Finally, the Rogue arrives to save his friend. Tell me, Rogue, how are you going to save them when you yourself are in critical condition from all the stab wounds you're going to have all over your body? I don't know, Cid replied. How are you going to suck my dick all the way from hell? Probably very easily, because it's huge. Cid said as he high-fived himself. Enough! Fire mace zombie attack! Suddenly, a zombie atop a skeletal fire steed with a fire mace ran straight towards Cid. Cid revved his boner cycle and whipped out his trusty dagger, Lil Pointy. Catch, Ugla said as she snapped off a piece of the charred treant's branch with force powers and enchanted it with magical powers as Fred managed to kick the blazing new staff over to Sid with kicking powers.
That was my dick, said the Treant, who was still alive but died again.
The pain brought him back.
Man, I hope nobody ever brings me back to life like that. Just let me die. Sid grabbed the staff and attached his dagger to the tip, causing lightning to flash all over the place and all over his body, like in his eyes and shit, symbolically energizing him. Fire Mace Zombie rode headlong towards Sid, as Sid himself drove recklessly toward the Fire Mace Zombie. Sid lowered his dagger staff as the zombie ignited his Fire Mace and swung it around furiously. As they were a mere 50 ogre paces away from one another, the Fire Mace Zombie hit himself in the head with his mace, decapitating himself. Sid stopped short as the headless body lost control of the fire steed and careened into a nearby mana gas station and exploded in slow motion.
Oh, man.
Burning, dick-eating hell, Sid said as he lit a blunt and took the second longest drag of his life. Steampunk zombie, attack, yelled Axe Wound, who you know she hadn't been fucked in like 2 days, and that's why she was so bitchy.
Whoa.
That's an accusement.
Narrative. You know, that's something evil people do.
Yeah, yes.
Get real mad about not having sex.
Yeah. It's in movies. Anakin Skywalker, he wanted to have sex. He turned evil.
Dude, that's why he took all his rage out on those raiders, dude.
Yeah, man. That's exactly it. Sexual Damn. Tension.
Damn. Wasn't his mom, yo. Wasn't his mom.
Totally not. Or was it? That's Freud. Sigmund Freud. A zombie dressed in all steampunk gear, who probably used to be the king of dirigibles, started to ride his steampunk-powered mechano horse towards Sid as he readied an old-timey blunderbuss that he had a magnifying glass on, or like a pneumatic tube that connected to nothing. Again, Sid began to ride toward the zombie and readied the dagger staff. As they neared each other, the zombie fired a shot, but Sid angled his staff to deflect. As he did, the bullet ricocheted off his dagger and flew back toward the zombie, hitting him right in the stupid, useless goggles that did nothing and penetrated his brain pan, killing him instantly and hopefully that fucking fad along with him. Fuck that zombie. I'm going to get a bunch of steampunk hate from that. From the steampunk guild. I'm assuming they have a guild.
There probably is.
Yeah, they've unionized.
At least a builder's guild.
A builder's guild. Yes. I hope your family has gay insurance, Sid said as he put down his...
Whoa.
Dude,
whoa.
He's a badass.
That's not a nice thing to say.
Dude, he's badass. He does whatever he wants. Sid said as he put down his wraparound shades with the words FBI Federal Booty Inspector monogrammed on them and did a stoppy. Axe Wound became even more angry because maybe she was a little turned on by those wraparound shades. Enough, Axe Wound shouted. Troll, if you do not give yourself to me sexually, I will kill your friends. No, Ugla shouted. Do it, Fred said. I mean, oh no, that would be terrible. He corrected himself as he looked at Ugla and shrugged. Never, Sid shouted. I'd rather eat Flyman's dingleberries. Meanwhile, hundreds of miles away in a seedy tavern in Grawl City, Flyman sat at a table crying acid tears into a mug of yellow liquid that he was told was ale, but was really pissed because everyone in that tavern hated him that much. He said, it's true. I'm too sad to wipe properly. He sighed and looked down, feeling more sadness than he had ever felt before, as the camera just stayed on him for an uncomfortable amount of time. Flyman, Sid laughed as he shook his head and smiled. I'd rather die than put my hang down inside of your queef pit. Oh. Then die, Axe Wound shouted as she commanded her army of remaining zombie stereotypes to attack the rogue. Now, Tinsel Leaf, he shouted. Suddenly, Tinsel Leaf the fairy appeared from an extra-dimensional realm, released Fred and Ugla, and teleported them to safety. Oh, hi, it's me, it's Tinsel Leaf. Remember me? Sure you do. Keep on makeovering, he said as he too teleported the crap out of there, leaving only a puff of smoke that was in the shape of him spreading his butt cheeks wide. Back in her alchemy lab, Ugla quickly turned on her all-sea ball to see the fate of her beloved. As she tuned to the right magic channel, she could see zombies swarming all over Cid. He fought bravely and valiantly. Suddenly, the screen was full of zombies as they covered Cid's body. When they were done ravaging him, and spitting on him, and pissing on him, and giving his lifeless corpse wet willies, and wedgies, and purple nurples, and Grawl steamering him, and blowing him up, and lighting him on fire, and posing with pictures with him, all that remained was a desecrated husk of a great warrior. Possibly the greatest warrior and badass Daranos has ever known.
No!
No, Ugla said, as a tear rolled down her cheek all the way to her beard. Fred moved over to comfort her, like at the end of Empire Strikes Back, while he put a nice cold steak on his concussed head. The room was silent, and some say they could hear Buffcat cry out a sad, mournful mew all across the land. Ugla broke down and her beard was covered in cry snot. Suddenly, the door swung open, and there stood Cid.
Oh!
Who knew my wife was such a pussy? He said with a smile. Cid, Ugla said, wiping the tears from her mustache. But I saw you die. How are you here? You think I'm stupid enough not to show up to a fight without a spare corpse in case I have to fake my own death? Cid said confidently. How are we going to stop Axewound? Fred asked. We're going to stop her like you stop any cunt, Cid said. And the only way I know how to stop a cunt is with love. Together, our love as friends and adventurers will stop that cunt. Sometimes you have to pound the love right into the cunt. Pound it right in there, over and over again, until the cunt is wet enough to finish the job. And when that happens, we're going to spray our vengeance all over her face and defeat that cunt once and for all. Finn.
Oh, man, okay. Roller coaster of a tale here. I thought our friend Cid died.
Yeah.
And then I was relieved to find out that Cid came back to deliver a very emotional speech about defeating evil.
That's right. That's right. Everyone applauded. I didn't write that, but they did. I could write it right now, but I'm not going to.
I'm just going to say it and act like I wrote it. Josh, are you ready for my tale of sacrifices and jousting?
I am prepared as I can be.
Okay, well, you got to get ready for this title because it's titled Sometimes You Gotta Go All In.
That's very true.
I'm not sure if that pertains to anything in the story, but here we go. A prison wagon rolled up to the Black Mountain of the Cave Goblins in southern Orkspire. The ogre driving the wagon got out with two whips in his hands and shouted, "All the get the fuck out!" Then he whipped the door to the slave portion of the wagon open and started doing mad whip-cracking tricks, not actually hurting the slaves and maybe not even intending to intimidate them. These tricks were dope, and one orc gave mad props. 24 orc slaves bound in chains filed out of the wagons and into a small, secret entrance in the mountain. Downstairs, the orcs march. Torches lined the walls. A large, fat cave goblin in a black hood met them at the bottom of the stairs, along with two guards. The fat goblin's eyes glowed yellow, and his mouth dripped a green drool. Cave goblins are a much paler shade of green than the usual goblins of Orkspire. Mm-hmm. Their fingernails were long, their eyes glowed, and their backs were hunched the fuck up. The hooded goblin snarled as he grabbed an orc by the wrist and inspected him. None of you look ready for battle, said the cave goblin as he smelled the orc's face. None of you smell ready. And I'm going to assume that none of you taste ready either, but I just ate. Regardless, the arena is where you shall go. Take them to the barracks.
Oh, man.
The guards took the orcs deeper into the mountain as the preliminary arena games were underway. Cave goblins were jousting, but not with jousting sticks and mounts. No, these cave goblins were man jousting, a.k.a. taking off all your clothes and forcing the hardest boner you've ever had in your life, then running it at each other at full speed.
Dude, why don't we do this?
Dude, well, for a lot of reasons.
I can't think of a single good one.
Me either. See you soon.
See you next week. Bye.
Was it a sport? Not necessarily. Did it have spectators? Hell yes. I guess you could call it something in between a display of physical feats and a car accident. Because when bones collide, all bets are off. Because the spectators can bet on which dick will explode first. At the head of the arena sat the cave goblin king, Lord Baloney. By his side was the arena announcer, who had a name, but fuck if I can remember it. Lord Baloney was a very large cave goblin, dressed in the most exquisite, colorful, royal robes. Mm. After a few rounds of man-jousting, Fred stood and shouted, Lord Baloney has deemed your bone duels exquisite! The winners shall participate in the balloon-popping bonus round, where balloons will float around the arena, and whoever can pop the most balloons with their bones wins.
This is the greatest arena of all time.
Release the bone balloons. Balloons fell from the ceiling as the crowd went wild. Bones were popping balloons all over, and you know some cave goblins flinched when balloons popped and their wieners got soft and tiny as some sort of wiener survival mechanism.
It's a good strategy to pop the first one with your bone so that everyone else gets soft.
Scare everybody else. One goblin in the crowd started crying as he muttered, the sacrifices these athletes make for our entertainment, it's beautiful. Back in the barracks below the arena, the orcs were arming themselves for battle. The swords were dull and the shields were splintered. One shield was actually a knapsack full of splinters, which actually made a better weapon than it did a shield.
That's not a bad shield.
No, it's not so bad. There was a leather glove that had cave goblin toenails attached at the end of the fingers, which surprisingly was the most useful weapon of the lot. An orc with an eye patch stared at the weapon rack with his good eye in disgust, then shoved it to the ground. All the other orcs got quiet and looked at him. We don't take any of this shit, said the orc. The other slaves got quiet. One slowly put down the sack of splinters. A guard kicked down the door and said, all right, slaves, shut up and don't tell anyone I broke the door. Now get in the arena. Stick together, said the eye-patched orc.
Yeah.
The orcs waited outside the doors to the arena. They could hear the announcer shouting, goblins of Black Mountain, prepare yourselves for the next round of senseless, violent entertainment. I mean, we could probably get this excited over live music, or maybe a juggling show, but fuck it. Slaves and shit, we evil as fuck. The doors opened as the slaves walked out onto the arena floor. The deafening cheers engulfed the slaves.
Yes.
Wait! Yelled a spectator. The crowd got quiet. They are unarmed! Mm-hmm. The audience gasped. How could orcs fight each other to the death without weapons? How will the crowd's thirst for blood be quenched? The king paused for a moment, then said, you will box for baloney. The crowd erupted. They loved boxing almost as much as they loved man boxing. And you know what that is. One audience member ran back to his house and sold every possession he had. Then he ran back to the arena and put it all on having a good time.
Dude, he needs to call a gambling addict hotline.
1-800-GAMBLER. For gambling.
Because that's crazy.
A door opened and three of the largest cave goblin guards walked out. They threw their weapons to the ground and put their fists up. The orc with the eye patch walked forward as two orcs followed him. The main-looking guard opened his ugly mouth and said, we're all championship man boxers, so you better back the fuck up before you get boxed the fuck up with a dick or something. I don't know. The orc with the eye patch snuck the dude right in the middle of his eye so hard that his face kind of imploded like a building that was being demolished. The cave goblin fell dead like a building that was being demolished. The crowd cheered like a crowd that would cheer if they had just watched a building being demolished. Though they weren't necessarily cheering for the orcs. They were cheering for the violence. The other guards were shocked. The other orcs punched them in their heads with both fists, a.k.a. the secret orc double punch that holds the power of exploding.
Oh, my God.
The other guards' heads exploded, just like a building that was being demolished. The crowd got the vapors and nearly fainted.
Got the vapors.
The king was annoyed by this dominating performance, but he calmly gestured to Jared? The announcer stood again and yelled, "Bring forth the grinders!"
Oh, my God.
The crowd went wild. One dude threw his whole popcorn in excitement. They began to chant, "Grinders! Grinders! Grinders!" 12 guards pushed 12 large stone grinding wheels, sweeping the arena floor and demolishing anything that was caught under it, including that guy's popcorn.
Oh, no!
But the orcs were just too damn nimble. They dodged that shit like it was nobody's business. But in fact, it was one guy's business. Frank Grindham, inventor of the grinders, and he stood to benefit greatly if his invention could, in fact, senselessly murder a slave. How could he benefit? Well, there's a write-in box when you're leaving the arena where you can submit new obstacles and challenges for the gladiators. And if your suggestion is picked and it kills someone, you win a book that tells you how to suck your own dick. And Frank Grindham was in the business of sucking his own dick.
Will it grind?
Will it grind? After dodging grinder after grinder, the orcs found themselves in the center of the arena. All the grinders turned their attention toward them. They all came rushing at them at full force, but everyone jumped at once, landing on top of the grinder wheels. Kind of like in The Next Karate Kid, when Hilary Swank almost gets hit by that car, but then she jumps up on the hood, and Mr. Miyagi sees this, and he says, "I gotta teach that girl karate." That happens, by the way. There's also the scene where the monks dance to The Cranberries, and it's a pretty awesome movie if you haven't picked it up.
Wait, The Cranberries? What year did that movie come out?
It came out '93.
No!
Yeah, it came out kind of late.
Oh, my God.
Rent it sometime.
All right.
While on top of the grinders, the orcs walked backwards to control them, and they caused a big grinder accident on the 101 that backed it up for hours.
The 101.
The crowd cheered. A grate in the center of the arena opened as a giant millipede crawled out onto the walls of the arena, circling the orcs. The crowd cheered as they chanted the beast's name. Big Toe, Big Toe, Big Toe. Which was a weird name because he had many legs but no feet.
Big Toe.
There was one orc who knew what to do. He stepped forward. All eyes were on him. He knelt and just started doing some capoeira as Boom, I Got Your Boyfriend by MC Lush.
Dude, MC, yes.
Boom, I Got Your Boyfriend.
Dude, I love that song.
Boom, I Got Your Boyfriend. I Got Your Man.
I got him.
Dude, that's what was happening. Just that song's playing as some fucking orcas doing capoeira. The beast was enthralled. The way this orc could move his body was incredible. Everyone in the audience started busting out every move they could to try to keep up. King Baloney leaned forward and squinted his eyes. "I know that orc, but from where?" As the orc continued to bust out every standard capoeira move, he transitioned into experimental capoeira, and he was soon just inventing stuff up on the spot.
Oh my God.
And it was beautiful. A yellow aura illuminated around him.
Oh, yeah.
The giant millipede couldn't help himself any longer, and he just started doing the best worm anyone had ever seen.
Well, you would think.
You would think he would do the millipede. The orc in the eye patch saw his opportunity. He ran up the millipede's back and grabbed onto the back of his neck and started driving him around because that's how bugs work.
It's true.
The eye patch orc had the millipede worming all the fuck over the audience, killing many cave goblins, but they couldn't give a fuck. They just kept dancing and dancing. The orc drove the millipede over to the king's seat, crushed his royal guards, and dismounted. King Baloney tried to escape, but then he tripped on his royal robes that I mentioned earlier. Yes. Bjork picked up one of the guard's swords and calmly walked toward him.
Oh, man.
No, don't come any closer, said the king. But that was just kind of a stupid thing to say, because what leverage did the king have? I mean, maybe his kingmanship, but that's not really a word. Suddenly, the king realized who the eyepatch orc and his men were.
Oh, my God.
You're Koroth, exclaimed the king. You're the one who overthrew Lord Synthor's Snake Lord mind.
Yes.
You're goddamn right, replied Koroth. And we came here for your ass. You mean you got captured as slaves again just to kill your way out? Yeah, we fucking hate people who like slaves, said Koroth. And he threw the sword into the cave goblin king's neck.
Oh.
He died 17 hours later after much pain and suffering.
That's terrible.
The crowd roared at this royal assassination. The announcer stood again and shouted, Release the Moralucator! A tiny forest gnome in a red cap stepped out into the arena floor and shouted, We can do it! Let's give it an honest try! The orcs considered the small forest gnome and decided to let him live, where they found him true of heart and pretty cute. The end.
Well, I'm glad that they let that guy go, the gnome.
Yeah, well, you know, he's a little cute guy. I felt like it was maybe not a great idea
to kill that guy.
Of a guy to put forward into the arena for your gladiators to face. A little gnome who tries to bring morale up.
The Moralucator.
Did you know who was doing capoeira?
Fucking Diamond.
Dude, that's fucking Diamond the Orc,
dude.
Yeah,
it's fucking Diamond. Hell yeah.
Unspoken, but...
Now spoken,
I just said.
Yeah, now, yeah. We went back a little bit. We dug deep a little bit. We had some deep cuts today.
Dude, yeah, he knows capoeira. Dance fighting. All right, everyone. Well, thank you for listening to another episode of Fantasy Fiction. Josh?
Thank you very much for stopping by for the episode 52 special.
for the year special. This is, well, we now have 1 year of Fantasy Fiction.
Right, one episode for each week.
So if there's anyone who's listening at one a week, welcome.
Yes.
To listening to the show for a year.
You might want to go back and listen to all of them, because this episode makes little sense to you.
but once again, guys, if you want to leave a prompt, go ahead and leave a YouTube comment on this episode. And if you want to support the show, you want to help us out, you can stop by fantasyfiction.bigcartel.com and buy a t-shirt or a button or a sticker or a bumper sticker. There's all sorts of stuff there now. So go ahead and check that out if you're interested.
If you buy a bumper sticker, and now this might be a bold claim, but if you buy one, the police will never pull you over.
Yeah, you know what's weird about bumper stickers is that they won't pull you over if you have one.
Yeah, if you have a Keep On Wizarding bumper sticker along with a DARE license plate, never get pulled over.
Never, ever. You know, but chances are one cop probably listens to this show.
Probably.
If he sees that, he's going to know that you guys are a fan of the show too, and he won't pull you over.
Yeah.
So
do yourself a favor.
I mean, I'm just going to put it this way.
Yeah.
If I were you, I would own 3 bumper stickers. but if you want to support the show and you don't have any money, there's plenty of ways to support the show. If you're listening to this on YouTube right now, just click the like button.
Mm-hmm.
Subscribing to our channel is helpful as well.
Yeah.
Actually, one of the best ways to support the show is simply sharing it with a friend. So if you have a friend who loves fantasy and he cries often because
he needs more of it in his life because sad
and he just doesn't have enough and he's sad about that, say, hey, maybe you should check out the Fantasy Fiction podcast.
Yeah.
And you can give him all the links and URLs,
or just show up to his house late at night and bring your computer and just play it for him while he's sleeping
and maybe he'll have a dream about it.
Just subconsciously get him addicted to it.
But once again, thank you guys for listening to another episode. Welcome to a year of fantasy fiction, episode 52.
It's crazy.
And Josh, I believe we have something to say before we leave here.
Do we do a thing every time? I think we might.
Yeah, I think it's... oh, you know what? It's on the bumper sticker.
Let's go buy three and then check it out.
Okay, let's go check the bumper sticker.
Oh, there it is. I have it open all the time in case I need to buy more.
You have it bookmarked?
Yeah. I just leave a tab open. Until next week, everybody, thank you for listening, and keep on wizarding! Don't get pulled over by cops!
Keep on wizarding, everybody. We'll see you next week. Have a good day, a good night, or maybe a good afternoon whenever you're listening to this.
Sneak into your friend's house.
Do it. Don't wait.
That's burglary. Don't do it. Buy bumper.
It's not burglary if you don't take anything.
That's B&E. It's breaking and entering.
And
burglary, you have to steal something. Like jewels, I think, is the number one burglar thing.
Burglars like?
I mean, I like them. I'm not saying I'm a burglar. I hope that cop turned off the podcast. That one cop who listens to it.
Keep on wizarding, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.